Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and Pastor Dale preaches your word, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 4, verses 19 through 26. The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for the salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This Samaritan woman, whose story we have heard a part of this morning, must have been a woman of courage. She must have been a brave woman down deep in her inner being, because she does something in this story that is very difficult to do, something that can be frightening in our inner being. She takes things that she has believed for a long time, things that she was probably taught as a child, things that were passed down through the generations in her community, things maybe she wasn't even taught, she just picked them up in the community that she was living in, things that were foundational to her belief system, to her identity, to her role in the society, even to her understanding of God. She takes these things and she is willing to think about them again. She is willing to reconsider. She has the courage to think with Jesus and to allow some things to be different, to allow some of those foundational beliefs to change. And the purpose of those beliefs is they are foundational. They are to create for us a stable world through which we can view things and life and our own identity. And to change them, it feels like you're rocking your world. But the reality is that some of the things we believe, some of the things that have been identity markers for us from childhood, probably do need to be changed. If they have become oppressive, if they are not accurate, if they are prejudicial, if they are not the way God wants us to see the world and ourselves. But it's scary to think about them and to change them. Now, if you remember anything about the Samaritans, you may remember that their belief systems, their value would include things like this, that they are, in fact, the chosen people rather than their neighbors, the Jews, that they are, in fact, the ones who are true to their father, Abraham, while their neighbors, the Jews, have gone astray from that they, in fact, are the ones who are understanding the Torah and living the Torah correctly, while their neighbors, the Jews, have gone astray and have become heretical, that they are the ones who have the right place to worship God. This mountain, she calls it Mount Gerizim. They believe that that's where Abraham worshiped, that that place is probably the place on earth closest to heaven, and therefore the place to worship, while the Jews had another place, Jerusalem, the wrong place to worship. This was part of her belief system from the time she was a child, and it wasn't just in her head. It wasn't just in their heads. It was in their attitude. You remember there was a hostility, an animosity, a loathing between Samaritan and Jew. But when she has the courage to think with Jesus, to engage him in conversation and to go deep, she is the one who brings up these old belief systems. She says to Jesus, "We Samaritans say that we should worship on this mountain. You say Jerusalem. Which is right?" And Jesus says, "Neither one. The time is coming," Jesus says, "and already is, when those who worship God will worship not on this mountain or not in Jerusalem. They will worship in spirit and in truth." God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And in fact, God is seeking such people to worship God. To worship in spirit, it means to go down deep in our spirit where we really live, where we believe the things that we believe, and invite the Spirit of God to be present there and to seek truth there deep in our spirit and to let the Spirit of God change us. Jesus, remember, is the one who says, "I am the truth." So having the courage to think with Jesus is having the courage to let the Spirit of God show us truth. To help old things to pass away that need to pass away, to be born anew as a new creature, as a new being, growing up into new things in Christ. And this woman has the courage to listen to Jesus and to change. Now, John doesn't give us a lot of words about how she changes. He does say that she goes into the village and she gives a witness to her fellow Samaritans about this Jew, Jesus. And it is a positive witness. And they come out and meet him. They also engage with him. They invite him to come home with them. And Jesus stays with them for some time. Now that is new. That did not happen in that day. Jews and Samaritans did not get along together, did not spend time together, did not share things like meals, like food dishes in common. But something is changing here. Something old is passing away. Some prejudice and loathing and hatred and some belief system that allowed people to be separated from one another and despise one another is passing away. Something new is coming. And when Jesus leaves them, they are saying, "We too believe in him." Now, we don't really know what happened to that village. John doesn't tell us anymore. We do know that John, writing his gospel, is describing, explaining, even defending his community of faith. And so it would be easy to suppose, and we would probably be right, that his community was a community where people who were Samaritan followers of Jesus and people who were Jewish followers of Jesus were in the same community together. And that would still be shocking in John's day, that would still cause criticism with many of the people around them. But something powerful was happening to them as they engaged with Jesus, as they experienced Jesus, as they changed deep inside, and it made it worth the whole thing. And it was powerful. These kind of deep interchanges can be deeply powerful, and not just for individuals, but for history itself. So I imagine that Martin Luther must have had such a change in his inner belief system. He was an Augustinian monk. He bought into the church as it was. He lived it. He committed to it. But then he had the courage to think with Jesus, to open his deep inner spirit to the presence and the spirit of Jesus, and to read the scriptures, and to discover there a different way, that it wasn't about obeying everything the church said to do in order to somehow be right with God. It was about the grace of God, the kindness and goodness of God, offered to us by faith in Jesus Christ. By grace we have been saved through faith. It's not our doing. It's the gift of God. That was a main discovery of the Reformation, a renewing of that, a recapturing of that truth of the scriptures. And so 491 years ago, next Friday, Martin Luther published his 95 Theses, his argument with Pope Leo X, his seeking to engage Leo as Jesus had engaged him. And it changed the world. And we are who we are nearly 500 years later because Luther had the courage to think with Jesus and to let the foundational beliefs that he had grown up with be changed, to let the old things unworthy of God pass away and the new things be born. Those foundational belief systems are still powerful in us today. They can still change the history of a nation today. So, for example, a week from Tuesday, many of my fellow Pennsylvanians will be going into a voting booth, and in the privacy of that booth, some of them will be struggling with an old value system, a value system that says people of color are not reliable, they are not trustworthy, they cannot be leaders. Now, I'm not suggesting at all how to vote a week from Tuesday. I am just telling you that in this historic election where for the first time a person of color is a candidate from a leading party, that raises for us deep issues of what we have grown up with, of what we have believed. And it makes a difference to the future of the nation, these belief systems that we have and how we act on them. So then, the issue of our scripture is, what about us? Are we willing to have the courage to think with Jesus? Are we willing to engage the Spirit of God at a deep level with some of the things that we have believed, even without question, believed without consciousness that we're believing it for all of our lives, things that have motivated how we think and how we act? Are we willing in those private moments when we have the time to think our own private thoughts, Are we willing to invite the presence of Jesus? Are we willing to remember the words of Jesus, the things that Jesus did? More than that, are we willing to engage our spirit with the Spirit of God to change us? Are there, when you have those private thoughts, are there old neighborhoods that you go back to in your mind, in your thoughts, frequently? And what are the issues that you're dealing there, dealing with there in your private thoughts? Are we willing to invite the presence of Jesus there? Are we willing, if it's appropriate, to let old ways die and new ways be born? The old has passed away in Jesus Christ. The new is coming. We grow up into something new, something more that God wants us to be and to become. So, for example, I'm talking about deep issues here. So, for example, for me, what does it mean to be a man of my age in this society at this time? And maybe there are things about being a man from my old Western Pennsylvania growing up that need to be converted, that need to change, that need to be different than they are, that will set me free in some way. What does it mean to you to be a woman? And what have you believed about your place in the society and your role in the society as a woman? Almost every woman I know who is a pastor, I have heard her say at one point or another, I didn't used to believe that God could call women to ministry. I had to listen to God. I had to change deep inside what I believed. What does it mean to have power in a society where so many people are without power? What do my old belief systems say about the accumulation of power and the use of power, or about success, how I know when I'm a success, how I know that I'm worthy of love or not? What do those old belief systems say? And are we willing to engage with Jesus to invite the Spirit of God and let those systems change if they need to change and think in new ways about those things? As I grow older and as we see people my age and older, as we see people our own age dying, what do those old belief systems say about dying? And is there fear in the dying? What would Jesus say to us about dying? Would it be different? And what about living? What do the old belief systems in you say about living? Live cautiously or live boldly? Talking about the deep things in us, the things that are about who we are and whether those things really are in line with how God thinks of us, what God calls us to. But it takes courage to think with Jesus, to engage those foundational beliefs, and to let some of them go. It rocks our world. It shakes the foundations. And yet, if God is in it, it will be good. It will be good. Our theme verse for our sermon series on courage, you remember, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Well, the reality is we lean on our own understanding far more than we realize, because these foundational issues unexamined in us drive our thinking drive our behaving. It takes courage to engage in a thought process with Jesus, to let it go deep, to let it change us, to let old things pass away and let all things become new. Do you remember what the Samaritan woman says at the end of the passage we read this morning? She says, "I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will teach us all things." When Messiah comes, he will teach us true things. And you remember Jesus' reply? He says, "I am he, the one who is with you right now." Let us join in prayer. We want to see the world, ourselves, the people around us, and you, O Lord, as you would have us see. We want to be free of those old identity markers, those old paradigms of who we are, those old belief systems that whatever in them that is not of you, we want to be set free. We want to be made new by the power of your words changing us deep within. So we give ourselves again to you, O Lord. Give us the courage to think with you, to learn to worship in spirit, spirit to spirit, and in truth, as you are truth. Help us, Lord. Reform us, Lord, into the people you want us to be. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.